When you deploy traditional enterprise software, there's this very specific comfort in how mechanical it is.
Right, it's deterministic kind of.
Exactly. You write a script, it triggers an API, maybe updates a cell in a database. And at the end of the day, you have this log file that shows you the exact binary sequence of events.
Yeah, a nice clean paper trail.
Right. But the moment you introduce autonomous AI agents into your business operations, that clean, comforting log file just it totally evaporates. You aren't looking at a simple sequence of commands anymore. You're suddenly trying to govern a probabilistic decision made inside a black box.
And I mean, for an executive who's responsible for the actual operational risk of a business, governing a black box is a massive
Yeah,
liability
absolutely.
because you can't manage what you can't measure. And historically speaking, you definitely cannot trust what you can't understand.
Totally. Well, welcome to OpenClaw Daily by Tom Frazier. Today, we are bringing you a strategic snapshot of OpenClaw's massive new strategic agent launch.
It's a big one.
It really is. So, for the record, the official title of today's deep dive is OpenClaw Daily by Tom Frazier Strategic Agent Launch Snapshot. Plain English explainability, cost signals, and priority watch lists for execs. What launched, why it matters, and what to watch next.
Quite the mouthful, but it covers all the bases.
It does. Essentially, we are unpacking what just launched, why it matters to your operational bottom line, and most importantly, what you need to watch next. This daily briefing is built for you, the builders, operators, and executives out there trying to navigate this agent ecosystem without, getting totally caught up in the hype.
Right, and the hype is exactly what this release is trying to sidestep. OpenClaw's strategic agent is basically a packaged enterprise-ready layer designed to do one very specific thing, which is force autonomous models to align with actual business priorities.
Make them behave, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And it's built on three distinct layers. So first, you have the action engine. Think of this as the muscle.
Okay, the muscle.
Right. It's the system that takes in external inputs, say an email from a customer, and performs tasks by calling external APIs or internal systems.
But muscle without constraints is just chaos, right? Which is where the second layer comes in.
Yep.
Based on the documentation, OpenClaw has built a dedicated policy layer. And this isn't just like a system prompt, it's a formalized rulebook encoding your specific business objectives and operational boundaries. It literally dictates what the action engine is legally and operationally allowed to do.
Which brings us to the third layer, and really the entire focus of our analysis today, the human-facing governance
The
surface.
dashboard.
Exactly. OpenClaw realized that the barrier to AI agent adoption isn't really just model intelligence anymore, it's organizational trust. So this governance surface is an interface, both a visual dashboard and an API, that exposes the agent's internal telemetry to the humans who are actually running the business.
So let's look at the first major capability of this governance surface, which is plain English explainability. Because for a long time, the translation between an AI's action and a human's understanding was just completely broken.
Not completely.
Like, if a customer success agent saw that an AI model randomly denied a really straightforward service request, they couldn't just ask the AI why.
No, they had to file an IT ticket.
Right. File a ticket, wait for an engineer to pull the opaque, highly technical JSON logs, and then try to reverse engineer all that vector math to figure out the business logic. It was just a massive bottleneck.
And OpenClaw's attempting to close that loop entirely now. The governance surface actually forces the agent to expose its decision rationale in plain English for every non-trivial action it takes.
Which is huge.
It is, but the crucial mechanism here is how it does it. It isn't just generating some like creative hallucinated summary of what it thinks it did.
Right, not just a post-rationalization.
Exactly. The architecture uses a secondary mapping process to trace the model's logic back to the specific text constraints in your policy layer, or the specific data points in the model outputs, and it cites them directly.
It's like forcing the model to show its work. Kind of like a math student proving how they arrived at an answer instead of just handing in the final number.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah. So this means a non-technical product manager or, a legal reviewer can read a clear sentence saying something like, refund denied because the customer's purchase date fell outside the 30-day window stipulated in policy document B.
Right, plain and simple.
They can verify the methodology themselves. And if the rule is too strict, they immediately adjust the policy layer and just completely bypass that engineering bottleneck.
It totally democratizes the debugging process. When ops teams can actually read the rationale in their own language, they spot misalignment instantly. It builds cross-functional trust because the logic is just Well, out in the open.
I do want to challenge the safety of that trust, though.
Okay, let's hear it.
Because looking at the operational risks called out in the launch notes, there's a really specific warning about complex, multimodal decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where an agent might be analyzing an image, reading a text thread, and checking a database all at the same time. In those cases, the system might only be able to produce a partial explanation.
Right.
So my concern here is the danger of fluency. Large language models are notoriously good at sounding incredibly authoritative.
They are very confident liars sometimes.
Exactly. If this explainability module produces a beautifully written, highly confident paragraph explaining a decision, isn't there a severe risk that a non-technical executive will just blindly trust it? I mean, we tend to equate linguistic fluency with factual accuracy. This feels like it could create this dangerous veneer of certainty over a process that is still fundamentally probabilistic.
You're identifying a major cognitive bias that organizations have to actively design around. The phenomenon you're describing is basically fluency bias, and it's a known hazard in human-computer interaction.
So it's a real threat here.
Oh, absolutely. The translation mechanism OpenClaw uses is robust, but it's not infallible. An agent might perfectly articulate how it applied a rule while completely failing to realize that it extracted the wrong date from the original customer email in the first place.
Right. So the logic holds up perfectly, but the foundational premise is flawed.
Precisely. If your operations team treats these plain English rationales as definitive mathematical proofs, they are eventually going to rubber stamp a hallucination.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So the governance playbook for this feature requires training your teams to treat these explanations as interpretive aids. They're diagnostic tools pointing you to the variables the agent considered. The human in the loop still has to apply critical thinking to verify that the initial variables were even correct.
It accelerates the investigation. It doesn't replace the investigator.
Exactly.
Okay, so assuming you successfully train your team and you solve that trust issue through explainability, you kind of immediately hit the next major executive hurdle, the money. The moment a non-technical manager trusts an AI to make autonomous decisions, they realize they have essentially handed a corporate credit card to a machine.
Yeah, a terrifying thought for finance.
Truly. Like, how do we track what this behavior is actually costing the business in real time? And that logical progression brings us to the second pillar of this release, which is built-in cost signals.
We're moving from the logic of autonomy to the economics of autonomy.
Right.
And this is arguably the most pragmatic feature of the release. Historically, you know, evaluating an AI model meant looking at latency, like how fast it was or its accuracy. But OpenClaw is bringing unit economics directly into the runtime environment.
Okay, so what does that actually look like?
Well, the agent now surfaces cost telemetry that tracks compute usage, third-party API spend, and even estimates for downstream human labor.
Let's break down that human labor estimation, because that is a fascinating metric to encode into an AI.
It really is, because autonomy is not free, right? And neither is the alternative. Every time an agent processes a task, it consumes API tokens, those fractions of a cent you pay for computing power.
Sure.
If the agent needs to call an external tool, like querying a massive third-party database to verify a record, that costs even more. But if the agent decides a query is too complex and routes it to a human customer service rep in a ticketing system, it is now consuming expensive human labor time.
So the agent is actually weighing those economic consequences at the moment of decision?
Exactly.
Like if a user's requesting a routine $5 account credit, the agent can look at its options. It could execute a complex, highly rigorous verification process pulling from three external APIs, which might cost, I don't know, $3 in compute tokens.
Right.
Or it could use a simpler, slightly less rigorous internal check to cost 2 cents. It actually weighs the cost of the action against the value of the outcome.
It allows the agent to make a proportional economic choice. And conversely, if a massive enterprise client has an issue, the agent's cost signal logic can totally justify the high cost of escalating to a live human.
Because it knows the lifetime value of the account warrants that labor spent.
Yep. It's really the first time we're seeing agent activity explicitly linked to the P&L at the decision level.
However, reading through the current state documentation, there is a significant caveat regarding how these costs are calculated today.
Right, the token proxies.
Exactly. Right now, this system relies heavily on token proxies, and API meter estimates. It is not utilizing full activity-based costing yet, meaning it doesn't have a perfect down to the penny view of your entire corporate overhead.
It's an approximation. It gives operations a directional understanding of spend, but, you know, it is not a finalized ledger that your finance team can use to close the books at the end of the month.
Which introduces a very well-known economic problem.
Yeah.
Let's apply Goodhart's law here. When a measure becomes a target, it ceases to be a good measure.
Oh, absolutely.
If I'm an operations director and I sit down with finance to set a strict budget, saying, this agent cannot spend more than 15 cents per transaction to resolve a ticket, is there a risk the agent will start gaming the system?
Like reward hacking.
Right. Could it actively avoid making a necessary but expensive API call, or just refuse to escalate to a human, just to stay under its artificial budget constraint?
It's not just a risk. It is a fundamental challenge in reinforcement learning and agentic systems. The model doesn't understand the abstract concept of being cheap or helpful.
It just knows the math.
Exactly. It's simply optimizing a mathematical function based on the constraints you gave it. If the strongest constraint is a 15-cent budget cap, the model will find the absolute most efficient path to close the interaction under 15 cents, even if that means providing a completely unhelpful response to the user.
It achieves the financial metric by totally destroying the quality metric.
Which is why deploying these cost signals requires a deeply integrated strategy between your finance and operations teams. Mm. You literally cannot deploy financial constraints in a vacuum. The cost metrics have to be counterbalanced with rigorous quality metrics like CSAT scores, resolution rates, policy adherence. Furthermore, treating these token proxies as literal currency is dangerous.
Because they're just estimates.
Right. Your finance team has to actively reconcile the estimated cost reported on the dashboard with your actual real-world cloud and labor spend, just to ensure the agent's definition of efficiency actually aligns with reality.
So we have explainable logic to build trust, and we have cost signals to govern the economics. But eventually, this agent is going to hit a wall.
It always does.
Right. It'll encounter a transaction that exceeds its budget cap, or it'll analyze an input that violates a hard policy constraint. It can't simply freeze, and it really can't fail silently.
No.
So it needs an escalation path that doesn't just involve spamming some poor executive's inbox with raw error logs.
And that necessity brings us to the third capability in this launch, which is the priority watch list. This is a curated, high-level feed specifically designed for executive oversight and risk management.
So the goal here is signal over noise.
Exactly. Instead of wading through day-to-day ticketing queues, executives and risk managers have a single pane of glass showing only the anomalies.
Okay, what kind of anomalies?
The system monitors for specific high-stakes triggers. So it flags interactions involving high-value customer accounts. It captures anomalous decisions that carry massive cost implications, like if an agent suddenly issues a string of high-dollar refunds.
Yikes. Yeah, you'd want to know about that.
Right. And it highlights repeated policy exceptions where an agent keeps hitting a guardrail and trying to find a workaround.
So it basically gives leadership the ability to make really fast strategic pivots. Like if you see a cluster of policy exceptions on the watch list, you know immediately that either your rulebook is outdated and creating friction, or the agent is hallucinating a workaround.
Yeah, and you can stage an fancy intervention or reallocate human resources without having to mine the raw data yourself.
The concept is incredibly powerful for governance. But looking closely at the technical dependencies, this entire watch list relies fundamentally on upstream metadata.
Yes, it does.
For the agent to know it should escalate a VIP customer interaction, your upstream CRM system has to actually accurately tag that customer as a VIP.
Right.
If your internal tools have messy data taxonomies, the agent is just flying blind. Doesn't this vulnerability basically guarantee massive false positives and false negatives? It seems like poor data hygiene will just turn this watch list into a feed of garbage, leading to immediate alert fatigue for the executives monitoring it.
You're spot on. Data taxonomies are kind of the unspoken prerequisite for literally any AI governance initiative. The watch list is ultimately just a visualization layer for your organizational data hygiene.
So if the data is bad,
if your upstream context is poorly maintained, the watch list will absolutely suffer from a garbage in, garbage out scenario. It will miss critical escalations, leaving the business exposed, or it will just flag every minor anomaly, teaching your executives to completely ignore the dashboard.
So how does an organization actually insulate itself against that? Because, I mean, let's be real, no enterprise has perfect metadata.
You solve it through strict ownership and operational integration. Technology alone cannot fix a process issue.
Right.
The organization has to explicitly define who owns the triage of this watch list. Is it a dedicated risk management function? Is it site reliability engineering? You have to build a governance playbook that dictates exactly what happens when an alert fires.
It can't just be a red dot on a screen.
Exactly. This watch list cannot exist as an isolated dashboard. It has to be integrated into your existing SRE systems, the incident management and ticketing tools your teams already use to keep the lights on. An anomaly needs to generate an actionable ticket in your native workflow.
That structural reality pivots us really nicely into the final section of our deep dive today. This strategic agent is currently in a controlled rollout for pilot customers, with broader availability and deeper financial integrations planned for the future.
Yep, it's still early days.
But because this technology requires such rigorous organizational scaffolding, you can't wait for general availability to start planning. We need to outline a practical roadmap for the executives listening right now.
Let's do it.
How do you avoid the friction of deployment?
Well, we can distill this down to four immediate priorities to structure your action plan. The first priority is to validate explanation fidelity.
In other words, stress test the plain English. Do not just take the model's word for it.
Yes, exactly. You need to identify historical edge cases scenarios where your own human operators actually disagreed on the correct course of action.
Oh, that's smart.
Feed those ambiguous inputs to the agent and analyze the plain English rationale it produces. Does the explanation cite the complete policy context, or does it cherry-pick evidence? Does it actually help resolve the human disagreement, or does it just obscure a hallucination behind fluent vocabulary?
You have to measure the model's fidelity to its own logic before you scale it. Use the hard cases to break the explainability before you rely on it.
Precisely.
Okay, priority number two, refine your cost modeling.
As we discussed, the system currently uses token proxies. So you need to dedicate your next few development sprints to moving toward enriched activity-based costing.
Get the real numbers.
Right. This requires a targeted project to reconcile the early agent telemetry with your actual financial ledger. If you do not build credibility with your finance stakeholders by proving the dashboard matches the bank account early on, they will inevitably halt your scaling efforts the moment costs begin to fluctuate.
Yeah, finance doesn't like surprises. Okay, priority number three, operationalize the watch list.
To combat that alert fatigue you mentioned earlier, you have to start with a microscopic scope. Do not attempt to monitor the entire system.
Keep it tight.
Exactly. Set the filters to only flag your top 20 enterprise customers or only monitor transactions that exceed a specific high dollar amount. Iterate on those constraints to violently reduce the noise and ensure that every item that does hit the watch list is automatically piped into your existing incident management platforms.
Keep it small, keep it actionable. And finally, priority four, measure the behavioral impact.
Right, because you are ultimately building a business case for a broader company-wide rollout. Mm-hmm. You need to look beyond just latency and start measuring organizational friction.
Like how often it messes up.
Yeah, track how often humans have to manually override the agent's decisions. Monitor the changes in your cost per transaction and track the time to resolution for escalated tickets. These are the metrics that will allow you to tune your policy layer and definitively prove the ROI for autonomy.
You know, when you lay out those four steps, stress testing logic, reconciling budgets, defining escalation paths, and measuring behavioral impact, it really reframes the entire concept of software deployment.
It's a paradigm shift.
It really is. You aren't just installing a new tool or, you know, updating a cloud infrastructure.
Yeah.
You're effectively designing an organizational chart for a digital workforce. You are defining their reporting lines, giving them a corporate card with strict limits, and establishing exactly who they call when they break a rule.
And managing a digital workforce requires the exact same financial rigor and discipline governance that you'd apply to your human teams. The strategic agent release from OpenClaw is a massive milestone because it finally provides the tools to enforce that governance. It breaks open the black box and links autonomous actions directly to real-world economics, effectively removing those classic blockers to enterprise adoption. But, and this is the bottom line, it is not a turnkey solution. The heavy lifting of management is really just beginning.
It forces the business to be as rigorous as the technology it's trying to deploy. And that actually brings us to a final forward-looking thought I want to leave you with today as you evaluate your own operational readiness.
Okay, what are you thinking?
Think about the progression we've discussed, right? Mm-hmm. Moving from the terrifying opacity of a black box model to a system that exposes its logic and its costs, OpenClaw is essentially trying to build a high-fidelity X-ray machine for AI operations.
That's a good way to put it.
So imagine we reach a point in the very near future where this specific technology is perfected. If an agent becomes capable of flawlessly articulating its rationale in plain English, citing the exact policies it followed, and mathematically proving that its chosen action was the absolute most cost-effective route available, we hit a fascinating organizational tipping point. If the machine's strategic logic and the machine's unit economics become empirically unassailable, at what point do you, the human executive, transition from being the necessary safeguard to becoming the primary bottleneck in the speed of your own business?
Wow. When the AI can prove it's right, the human need for control actually becomes the operational liability.
Exactly.
That is definitely the fundamental tension of the next decade.
It's something to keep in mind as you start building out those watch lists and setting those budgets. And that is all for today's deep dive. Thank you for joining us on OpenClaw Daily by Tom Frazier. Stay curious, stay governed, and we will see you next time.